This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Dodgers trade for reliever Yohan Ramirez. Shohei Ohtani gets his first walk-off hit as a Dodger. Some shortstop concerns with Mookie Betts. We got 10 big takeaways from the week that was. All that more coming up next on Dodgers Dugout Live.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Shohei Ohtani from the stretcher home run.
Welcome to Dodger Stadium.
Dodgers win!
This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What is up, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to a Monday edition of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain, credentialed member of the Dodgers media. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC underscore LA. And if you haven't yet, do us a huge favor. Join the party and subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel, the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Hit that like button. And also, if you want to be eligible for all of our giveaways, all you have to do is comment GOAT Tani down below and you'll be eligible for our next giveaway, which comes at 95,000 subscribers. We are closing in. All you have to do, it's the easiest way to win a jersey in the entire world right now. You just have to subscribe to the channel one, keep those notifications on, and comment GOAT Tani down below and you're eligible to win a brand new authentic Shohei Ohtani road gray jersey. You won't want to miss out, so be sure to be subscribed. And of course, Dodgers Dugout Live is everything you need to know about Dodger baseball in less than an hour. We go on Monday through Friday in the mornings. We also got the Dodgers Nation post-game show after the games, so be on the lookout for that. And just a reminder that today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA, and the NHL. Playoff stats, the latest stats, news, scores, they're all available. And to follow your own favorite teams, get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. So you know every episode of Dodgers Dugout Live starts with a poll question of the show. And today we asked you guys over on the X, will Mookie Betts be the Dodgers shortstop by season's end? We got the poll up right now. And as you can see, 56% right now are saying yes. 44% are saying no. So we'll double back and we'll check on the results of that later. But that is one of the closer polls we've done recently, where it's as close to 50-50 as we've seen. Because Mookie, like we've said this entire season, can he play it? Is he talented enough? Does he have the skill to play shortstop at the big league level? Yes, he can, because he's Marcus Lynn Betts. He is a superhuman baseball player, but he did show some signs of frustration. And I think for the first time of the season, he was really frustrated with his play after Friday night's game. We're going to get into those comments in a little bit. But first, for the leadoff today, there's nothing I love more than a trade. There's nothing I love more than player acquisitions. I live for this stuff. I need trades like a narcissist needs himself. I love trades. And we've got one. And our boy Cash Considerations has been busy lately. Another trade. The Dodgers announced today that they have traded for Yohan Ramirez, the reliever that was DFA'd by the New York Mets less than a week ago. And Yohan Ramirez could really help this team. I'm going to tell you why in just a second. But just here's what you need to know from the get-go. He's at a minor league option, so the Dodgers have to immediately insert him into their big league bullpen. So they have to make a corresponding move on the 40-man and also get him on that active roster as well. And first and foremost, this really, to me, indicates that this Dodgers team they are saying, what we've been saying, what you've been saying, is you can never have enough pitching depth. You can never have enough starters. You can never have enough relievers. And this is evident. We saw just a few days ago, you go in and you get Anthony Banda, who ends up having a role and playing a big role in the Dodgers win yesterday, and Shohei Ohtani getting his first walk-off hit as a Dodger. So that is something that we know now, is that they're not content with their depth at the reliever spot. Now, is that because of injuries to Brusdar Graterol, Ryan Brazier, and Joe Kelly, and a whole slew? I mean, Evan Phillips, their best reliever, is currently out. He should be back in less than 10 days. But it makes you wonder, are they bringing in these guys for depth as a way to replace them if those guys can't come back, or those guys struggle when they do get back, or do they see them as pieces that they can develop into weapons? I think it's a combination of both. Let me know down below in the comment section, is this trade for Johan Ramirez something, nothing, or everything? I was talking to someone today, texting someone within the Mets organization. I asked him about Johan Ramirez. I like that. Don't mess with the Johan. Great movie by Adam Sandler, right? I was talking to someone from the Mets, and they said he's an innings eater with a lively fastball, the kind of guy you want to eat innings if your starter doesn't go past five innings. So we've seen what Ryan Yarbrough has been able to do for this team. We saw what the benefits are to having a guy that can go multiple innings, and Ramirez is certainly that guy. Got some comments down below. Does Johan Ramirez get the D-Max stamp of approval? That's from Zella Zoom. I'll tell you at the end of this segment, but it's definitely trending in that direction. I mean, look, cash considerations, I had high hopes for him. I thought he was going to be able to play a role for this team. But to use those cash considerations to get Johan Ramirez, someone that can also help this team, I do like this move. And just to back up a little bit and break him down as a player a little more, the Dodgers, they're going to need to make another move to get him on that 40-man, to get him on that active roster because he has no more options. And that should tell you how they feel about him. That should tell you how they feel about his potential. And if you look at his journey to the Dodgers, it's a very interesting one. He's played on 7 different teams in the last few seasons. He actually has already played for 2 teams this year. That includes the Mets and the Orioles, where he posted a 6.91 ERA in 14 and thirds innings. He's posted a 26.2 strikeout rate and a 9.2 walk rate. And you look at the strikeout rate, it's above average. You look at the walk rate at 9.2%, it's a little bit above league average. And you don't want to be above league average when the walk rate, you want to be below it, right? This year, the walk rate league average is 8.5%. He's currently sitting at 9.2%. He's averaging 95.3 miles per hour on his four seam. He's averaging 94.8 miles per hour on his sinker. Has a 42.1% ground ball rate. If you look at his career in 138 and a thirds innings at the big league level, he's posted a 4.29 ERA, a 23.5 strikeout rate, a 12.2 walk rate, and a 44.6% ground ball rate. This year, though, you look at the ERA at 6.91, you say, okay, that looks ugly. But then you look at the expected ERA, it sits at 3.78 with 10 games with the Mets and the Baltimore Orioles. And he has 17 punchouts and 6 walks in 14 and a thirds innings in that stretch. So, one, the expected numbers are saying that he should be having better results than he's had this season. Two, the strikeout rate is above average. And three, you look at the walk rate. The walk rate is what sticks out. A 12.2% career walk rate in the show. You want to see that go down. So if the Dodgers can find a way to improve his command and limit the base runners, they can truly get something out of this guy. I mean, he's been a journeyman, but this is what he is, a journeyman big league reliever. He's been with 7 teams in the last 3 seasons: the Mariners, the Guardians, the Pirates, the White Sox, the Mets, and the Orioles. And he was actually with the Mets 2 different times this season. And he was traded to the Orioles on April 11th. And then on May 6th, the Mets claimed him back on those waivers. So a very interesting pickup for the Dodgers. But what I see is a guy that's a journeyman depth piece, a guy that can be a ground ball pitcher, a sinker pitcher that can give you above average strikeouts and punch dudes out and keep it on the ground. And that's really what it's about for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think this is a very interesting pickup. You look at his baseball savant numbers, expected ERA in the 89th percentile, the expected batting average. I mean, this is a guy that could certainly help this team this season. And also, too, You look at the pitcher, you say, okay, I like what I'm seeing. I understand the move. Just look at Ryan Brazier last year. He had an ERA that was similar to this. He ends up on the Dodgers, and he posts a .70 ERA. I'm not saying that he is going to be Ryan Brazier or have that same level of success, but when you look at the expected numbers, when you look at some of the upside, you can clearly see why the Dodgers added him to this mix, because he's got the upside. He's got the expected numbers. He has a track record in this league of showing, you know what, I can get big league hitters out. Oh, and then there's the intangibles. And I always look at the intangibles, and you know he's got that dog in him. He's our Dodgers dog of the show, because you saw earlier in the season the mix-up. You saw the mix-up he had with Reese Hoskins, and you can never have enough of these type of guys on your squad.
Two-run homer today. He's driven in four runs. And that one sails over his head.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if there was intent involved.
Oh, boy.
The umpires decided that Johan Ramirez was throwing intentionally at Reese Hoskins, and he has been ejected.
So that really gives you a little glimpse into the competitive side of Johan Ramirez. I like the comments. Don't mess with the Johan. Yamamoto, I think, trade Lux in CT3. We got some more comments. Whoa, that pitch was crazy from NS. Yeah, I'm not saying you want to go out there and throw it, guys, but you want some guys that are going to be competitive. That ball slipped. That's from B. Guzman. By the way, that's a fire take. We got trade Taylor for Kim and move. That's not a move that they're going to be willing to accept. But by the way, anytime you guys drop any questions that are related to the topics that are currently running on the show, drop those. And I got super producer to my left, Mr. Antonio, who's looking for all your fire takes, all your questions for later in the show. Antonio, did that ball slip for Johan? What are your thoughts on that?
That was definitely intentional.
You're accusing him of throwing at another. That I don't think that's not of his character. I think Johan wouldn't do something like that. No, but absolutely.
He was sticking up for his team, you know.
It was baseball just being baseball. I mean, that's the great thing about baseball. Baseball polices itself. But let me know down below in the comment section, what are your thoughts? Is the acquisition of Johan Ramirez something, nothing, or everything? Let us know down below. We got Donio Taters, Ray Soto giving you a shout out. It's a fire take right there. Love to hear that. We got McNeil on this roster would bat ninth and could possibly be. Yeah, that's a great point. Everyone always acts like there's rosters around the league that they're 1-9. They're getting production all the time, every single day. No, every single team has black holes in their lineup. Every single team has holes in their lineup during certain stretches. You're not going to get the all-star team, even though the Dodgers are trying to get the next closest thing. We got Kelly Oshiro. Vesia has seemed very competitive lately. Vesia's been great lately. He really has. Yesterday he was put into a tough situation. He missed with the slider arm side, but for the most part, he's been locating. He's been attacking hitters. He has that life on his heater. He's been really, really good. Johan is TBD. Let's hope and pray. Doug Slayton, sure, he's TBD. That's reasonable. But what we do here is we plant our flag. I'm going to do it right here like I did with Ryan Brazier last year. I think they are going to turn Johan Ramirez into a weapon that has the potential to really help this team. Can get ground ball outs, can strike guys out, has a slider that plays. Like I said, I was talking to someone within the Mets today. He texted me, innings eater with a lively fastball, the kind of guy you want to eat innings if your starter doesn't go past five innings. So that absolutely is something can help, that can absolutely help this team in a major way. We got Grove has a really sexy baseball reference page, deep fried beans. That's a bruh for sure. We got Lux's future. We'll talk about that. Mark Pryor will fix him even at his 6.0 ERA. So that's what we know right now for Johan Ramirez. Like I said, the top thing you need to know is one, he's out of options, and you have to make a corresponding move to add him to that 40-man, to add him to that 26-man. So they've kind of been using that 26 spot as a rotating, revolving door for relievers this season. So we'll see if this is something long-term, or is this something that provides depth while some of these other guys, like we talked about, the Evan Phillipses, the Ryan Braziers, the Brewers, the Gratterols, the Joe Kellys, while they get healthy and get back on the mound. But we got 10 big takeaways from a week that was for your Los Angeles Dodgers. We're going to get into that. The first one, anytime it's a good takeaway, anything positive, you're going to hear the Let's Go Dodgers. Dun, 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 dun. The Let's Go Dodgers. I got the Ohtani bobblehead right here. And what a week for Shohei Ohtani. He had his bobblehead night. He had 40,000 giveaways. I feel bad for the 40,000 and one person that didn't get one. That's a bummer. 1,700 of those were the gray version that are currently going for thousands of dollars on eBay. Then you had Shohei Ohtani Day, where it's going to be Shohei Ohtani Day here in Los Angeles for the next decade. And it was a big week for Shohei, and he capped it off in the biggest way possible with his first walk-off hit in his Dodger career.
Here it comes. Ohtani on base, hit to right field. Hayward comes home to score. A showstopper and game ender. Shohei Ohtani, his first walk-off hit in four seasons. His first walk-off hit as a Dodger.
So what a moment. Shohei Ohtani, first walk-off hit as a Dodger. His first career walk-off since 2020. That was also a single he hit with the Angels. And the first takeaway from that moment is the talent that surrounds him with the Dodgers is one of the big reasons why he's been able to get off to the best start of his career. And in the Angels, it would have been a different situation. They might have been able to pitch around him. And you saw for his career, he was below average when it came to getting opportunities to hit with runners on base, getting opportunities to hit with runners in scoring position. And we saw a couple weeks ago in the Braves series, he gets the big base hit to allow Andy Páez to hit the Dodgers' first walk-off of the season. And then yesterday, just what an at-bat that was for Shohei. Not getting too big with his swing, covering all parts of the plate, had two strikes on him. And was he trying to get too big? Was he trying to hit it out of the park? No, he wasn't. He was trying to make something happen, and he certainly did just that. And he comes through in a big spot. So for me, it wasn't just the fact that Shohei came through in that spot. It was the way in which he did it. And you look at that at bat right there.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Pitch to the at-bat. He takes that four-seamer, and he just gets a base hit. And sometimes that's what you need. Sometimes you got to have those different clubs in your bat. You got to break out that pitching wedge, and he can do that. And we're seeing more of that with Ohtani of late. But I'm still old enough to remember there were people freaking out about him struggling with runners in scoring position, posting his scoring position stats, 1-for-19 with RISP. A lot of people were trying to turn that into a narrative. What I tell you on this show, I said, don't lose a minute of sleep. Don't look at that at all whatsoever, because one, his expected numbers in those situations, they indicated that he should have been having more success with the quality of contact in those situations, and two, that he needed a little more experience in those situations. Like I said, he's the Bugatti at the trailer park in Anaheim, wasn't in those situations, wasn't playing very much meaningful baseball. Now you're seeing him evolve. And another thing I heard going into this season was there's no way that Shohei Ohtani could win the MVP as a DH, that he wouldn't get enough war, that the fact that he wasn't pitching or playing a position in the field would limit his chances. Well, guess what? If you look at Shohei's MLB rankings after yesterday, he pretty much leads in almost every single statistical category that you want to be leading in. 353 batting average, that's first. A 423 on base, that's second. A 658 slug, that's first. 205 weighted runs created plus, that's tops in the sport. So his bat from an offensive production standpoint has been 105% above league average. 66 hits, that leads baseball. 30 extra base hits, that leads baseball. 13 home runs, he's tied with Judge for second most. Hard hit percentage, that's first. F4, 3-4, he's tied with Mookie Betts. If the season ended today, Shohei Ohtani would be my National League MVP. And I know people out there said, there's no way that a DH could win the MVP, that we've never seen a DH win the MVP. Guess what? We've also never seen a player like Shohei Ohtani, right? Once in a sport type players are going to do once in a sport type things. They're going to make history in moments like yesterday. That is going to go a long way into achieving that. Not just the statistics, but those moments. And look, you know, I bring my facts to the fight. And right now, on the year, he's 12 for 50 with runners in scoring position. He's hitting 240 with a 598 OPS. You compare that with no one on, when he's hitting 370 with 1181 OPS. Yes, his numbers have been lower with runners in scoring position versus when they're not, but still, he's coming through of late, and those numbers are going to even out in the course of a 162-game season. I said it before, I say it during the intro, that we're living in the golden age of Dodger baseball. Another thing I want to say is, look, I know the expectations for this team. If this team does not win a World Series, they are going to be looked at as a failure. That's just the stakes that we're talking about. There is no in-between. There's no, oh, the Dodgers made it to the NLCS and they lost to a tough Phillies team. No, that would be considered a failure. There is no, oh, they made it to the World Series and they lost to the Yankees or the Astros that are starting to win now or an American League team. No, it's win or bust, right? Go hard or go home for this Dodgers team. But I want to say, too, is that you can't get too caught up in that. I mean, you can't get too caught up in October. Enjoy what we're seeing. Enjoy the experience of watching Shohei Ohtani in this Dodgers lineup in his absolute prime. I always wanted to know what it was like to live in Chicago in the late 80s and the early 90s and to watch Michael Jordan in his absolute prime. Well, guess what? That's what we're living in now. That's what Los Angeles is right now in the Shohei Ohtani era, is you're seeing the most talented player in the history of the game at his absolute peak. This version of Shohei Ohtani is better than the one we saw with Anaheim. He's actually reached a new level. To think that he's leveled up is almost insane, but the numbers bear that out. If you look at some of the comparisons with how he performed in Anaheim versus now, you're seeing a big difference. I dove deep into the numbers this weekend, and one of the first big differences is he's absolutely obliterating breaking balls. He's hitting 345 versus breaking balls. He has a 702 slug versus breaking balls. That's third in the sport. Last season, he was slugging 556 against breaking balls. That was ninth. He had a two. How about this, Antonio? Last season, he was hitting 247 against breaking balls. This year, he's hitting 345. Okay. How well do you hit breaking balls, Tonio?
I'm a clean zero.
You're a clean zero?
Yeah.
You just look for the heater?
I look for the heater straight, dead red, dude.
You just got to stay back on it. I'll teach you. He's got to stay back and drive it to all fields. But just look at that difference. This season, fifth against breaking balls. Last year, 117th. So, I mean, that's one of the big reasons why. You also look at the hard contact. This season, 61.7% of his batted balls have been hit with an exit velocity of 95 miles per hour or more. 61.7%. Last season, that mark sat at 52.2%. And from 2021 to 2023, it was a little bit above 50%. Let me remind you that this is also a guy who won the unanimous MVP and was phenomenal at the plate, but he's been even better. You look at the barrels too. Ohtani this season, when you look at his barrel rate, he's hitting on the barrel at 15.6% of his plate appearances. Now, a barrel rate, of course, it's when you have the best exit velocity and the best launch angle. It's a combination of those. Well, 15.6% of his plate appearances, he's been hitting on the barrel. He's on pace this season for 110 barrels. That would break Aaron Judge's record of 106 that he set back in 2022. So, I mean, you're seeing all the advanced numbers improve and take a spike. You're seeing some of the more typical counting numbers take a spike. And basically, all this to say is that he's on the best start that he's ever been, and he's only going to improve. But let me know down below in the comment section, what are your thoughts on the Shohei Ohtani era? I got this bobblehead right here. I mean, it's just special, man. We got Ohtani for shortstop from B. Guzman. It will be Mookie's last chance, LOL, for One-Eyed Dragon. Shohei's strong like bear, fast like fox, and cute like dog. It's the early contender for the comment of the show. That's from Borat Ohtani. That comment was very nice. We got not yet peak Ohtani. That's from just an option. I agree. I mean, he's not peak Ohtani. I think we're seeing him like at a 9. June and July, the summer months, that's when you see an uptick in his power numbers. I've seen people float this idea that the way that he's playing right now is a byproduct of him focusing on hitting and not pitching and not having to do both. And I think that there is something to that. And what I've heard when it comes to Shohei Ohtani is that he loves to pitch, but he lives to hit. But having said all that, you paid a guy $700 million. He's still a top 5 to 10 pitcher when he's healthy. The idea of him not pitching again or not having him pitch is one of the most absurd ideas and takes I've ever heard in my history of being a fan. That's like having a Bugatti, the keys to a Bugatti in the garage and not driving it, right? I mean, that's how good he is as a pitcher as well. So, yeah, I think you always take it step by step. And he's committed to his throwing program, and they're clearly committed to having him be one of the aces for this team. And that three-headed monster of a rotation that's going to feature Glasnow, Ohtani, and Yamamoto, they have a chance to be one of the best that we've seen in the last decade or so. That's how talented they are. I gave my pug an Ohtani jersey, J Bullet ET. That's pretty awesome. It's a fire take. The next giveaway is Ohtani bobblehead doll. I don't know. I'm keeping this one here. For us, maybe we'll get another one. We're giving away, like I said, road gray jersey at 95K. So, hey, the road gray is hot right now. It's hot in the streets. You got to go with the road gray. I like the road gray too. You can like spill stuff on it. You know, the white, you get some ketchup on it. It's over. We're winning back-to-back chips when Ohtani pitches next year. A Dizzle. I like that too. That what you point out is that we're going to experience this all again when he pitches for the first time. And it's going to feel like just getting another star player. Roy Estrada. Carney remembers Dodgers get revenue from Japanese networks showing Dodgers games. That's from Roy Estrada. That's another thing. It feels like every time I open up my email, I'm getting a notification that the Dodgers have just signed a new deal with a Japanese company, another sponsorship deal. It feels like they're at 7, 8, 9 at this point. So, yeah, he's going to pay for himself for sure. And that says, give away the D Nation hat instead. I know you guys want the hats. We're still working on them. Trust me. CSR, it's time for Dodger baseball. Hernandez is having a great year, but which one? Angel Escobar, why aren't the Los Angeles Road Grays their primary road jersey? Good question. They've been mixing it up. I think the Los Angeles wordmark that you see now, it looks really clean. I still like the Dodgers one too. I think it's good to have a little bit of an alternate there. The difference between the new Los Angeles and the old one is the new Los Angeles is exactly like the Dodgers one in that in the past, the Los Angeles one had the piping on the sleeves. And we also saw the Los Angeles one early in the Koufax era when you had kind of the felt woolish type jerseys. I think the Los Angeles one is fire. And typically you do see the city on the road jerseys than the home one. So if they want to make that permanent, you wouldn't get an argument from me. We got, I want to see the Blue Jays Dodgers jerseys. Fernando, we got, do you think the Dodgers make a trade for Arenado if Muncy is out longer than expected? Hayden Magnum. I've been digging around for some Arenado stuff, and I think that the Cardinals are learning now that you really should welcome a down-to-the-studs rebuild when your players are at their highest value, because Arenado's stock has dropped. That Cardinals team is struggling. If they do trade him, they're not going to be able to get as big of a return as they could have gotten last year at the trade deadline. But the truth is with Max Muncy is it's an oblique. They think it's minor. And when he does come back, there's really no spot for him if you were going to get a permanent solution at third base. So unless they want to replace Max Muncy permanently with Nolan Arenado, I don't think that'd be the case. And why would you want to do that with the way that Max Muncy is performing this season? So we'll talk about Max Muncy in a second. But next big takeaway we're going to dive into is this: the week the Dodgers had, they're cooling off, but the Dodgers cooling off is still hotter than most teams in the sport. In the last week, the Dodgers, they go 5-2. They take 2 out of 3 from the Giants. They took 3 of 4 from the Reds. They improved to 32-17 on the season. That's a 106 win pace. There's 7.5 games up on the Padres in the NL West. Antonio, I'm going to put you on the spot. Is the division wrapped up? 7.5 games? Are the Padres going to be a threat?
I mean, dude, it's still too early. I don't think it's wrapped up. You know, you still got to worry about, even though the Giants are struggling, the Diamondbacks are struggling, the Padres are struggling, but...
Wow. Antonio, hot take. The Padres are winning the NL West. That's what you're saying.
No, not really. You just got to... It's still too early, you know.
Antonio hates the Padres. No, let me know down below in the comment section. Do you guys think is the division wrapped up? And like Antonio mentions and points out, it is still extremely early. I just think with this Dodgers team, if they stay even at this level of health where they're not even at full strength, you're going to run away with this division. I don't even check the NOS standings anymore. I check the league standings, right? For me, the NOS standings is like checking the weather in Los Angeles, right? You know, it's just going to be sunny. It's sunny days in the NOS. For me, it's about, can you catch the Phillies for best record? And right now, the Dodgers are 2.5 games back of the Philadelphia Phillies for the best record in the league and the National League. But what the Dodgers have over the Fighting Phils is a plus 85 run differential. That's first in all of Major League Baseball. And you saw the week they had. You had really solid starts, save for Tyler Glasnow. Didn't have his best stuff. Didn't have his curveball command in the Dodgers' Thursday loss to the Reds, where they let Eli De La Cruz, who this is his city, right? They let him go crazy, and he stole 4 bases. They lose that game. But other than that, you had really good, solid pitching performances. The offense, they averaged 4.7 runs per game. The pitchers allowed 3.14 good runs per game. So the Dodgers, they're still hot, even though they've cooled off just a tiny bit. Second big takeaway is Walker Buehler has started the process of truly reinventing himself. And I kind of found it a little funny this weekend when after Walker Buehler's start, everyone was saying, oh, Walker Buehler, he's finally come to the conclusion that he needs to be a pitcher and not a thrower, that he's reinventing himself and this and that. Walker Buehler has begun this process already. I mean, it's been years since Buehler has thrown that four-seam fastball over 50% of the time. I think the difference between Walker Buehler is the command on the curveball was just so much better. You saw more swing and miss, and it wasn't just one pitch. He got swing and miss with the curveball, with the fastball. And if you get that version of Walker Buehler, a guy that can give you 6 innings of scoreless baseball, that's going to be exactly what this Dodgers team needs. They don't need him to be 1 or 2. They don't need him to even be 3. But if he can be a solid 3 and a solid 4, that is going to go a long way to solving any pitching depth issues they had for starters this season. And he ends up going 6 innings. He gave 3 hits, had 7 strikeouts, 78 pitches total, 55 for strikes. So you're right around 70% for throwing strikes. And he was getting ahead in the count too. 16 for 21 on first pitch strikes. Got 8 swing and misses on the night. And I think for him, he realizes at this point that he is going to pitch to contact, but also he can get those big strikeouts when he needs to. He went out of the zone with that knuckle curve to hit Eli De La Cruz swinging a couple different times. And he ends up getting his first win at the big league level since 2022 is 725 days since his last win. And you guys know, I'm the biggest, I'm not a big wins and loss guy. I don't think that does anything to determine how good a pitcher is. I think it actually does nothing to determine how good a pitcher is, wins and losses. I can do a whole segment on that at some point. But still, I can tell you from talking to these guys that it matters to them. It does matter to them to get wins because they view it as not just an individual accomplishment, but a team accomplishment. And for Buehler to pitch 6 scoreless coming off some rocky starts, I was very impressed. And I think the big takeaway is he changed where he was on the rubber. And he mentioned that after the game. And that was the huge difference. Where he was on the rubber and where his toes lined there, he slid a little bit, and that was the biggest difference. I mean, typically, he's more close to first base, and he goes 6 inches to the right, and that was a huge difference because that is what really led to improved command. You also saw the velocity was a little down. I almost think that was intentional. I think he's saying, look, give me velocity at 94, 95, where I'm painting corners and I'm hitting my spots and I'm dotting it versus me trying to pump 97, 98 on every pitch, but being erratic. So I think that he's sacrificing a little velo for some improved command, but he still worked at 97, but it was down in the zone, right? Live low, live long. Like Dontrell Willis likes to say, I think Walker Buehler is starting to understand that a little more at this stage of his career and give him all the credit in the world. He has accepted the fact that 98, 99, 100 mile per hour butane isn't walking through that door. This is more the hybrid Walker Buehler that we're seeing. A guy that can give you 7, 8, 9 strikeout games, occasionally double digit strikeout games, but it's more of a guy that's going out there, throwing strikes, trusting his defense, and working all quadrants of the zone with a more refined and dynamic pitch mix. We're seeing cutter, we're seeing slider, we're seeing knuckle curve, four-seam fastball. And Buehler said after the game, I think early in my career, there were things physically that I just can't do now, okay? Compare that to Noah Syndergaard, who last season was saying things like, oh, I want to give away my kid for my velocity, right? When Noah Syndergaard is saying, I'll give my firstborn son to be the pitcher that I was, okay? Walker Buehler isn't saying creepy stuff like that. He is being realistic about the pitcher he is and his limitations at this stage of his career. And I was really, really impressed to hear him say that. And another thing, too, major kudos to Josh Bard and Connor McGinnis and Mark Pryor to say, you know what, Walker, maybe you change where you're placed on that rubber. You slide over 6 inches, and Walker Buehler is now welcoming this new information. He doesn't act like he needs to know it all or he has all the answers. And Buehler said after the game, unfortunately, I'm going to have to keep listening to everybody, okay? So I love this version of Walker Buehler where he's just a little more accepting of just the opinions around him, and he's not relying solely on that high velocity, and you're seeing him really evolve, and that's what makes him such a fun watch now on the mound. I mean, you see what Yamamoto is able to do with so many different pitches. Buehler, you're starting to see almost a version of that and just a nastier version of that knuckle curve. And if he continues to build on all these starts, they're going to get exactly what they need. A very solid number three, a very solid number four, because you can't bank on Bobby Miller right now. Can he still have a really good season? I do think he can, but Buehler is post-second Tommy John. I think he's got more miles on that arm than he's had in years. And I also think, too, he is someone that wants to go out and get paid. If Walker Buehler is on a different team next year, that could mean something good for the Dodgers this year. Because if he's on a different team next year, that means he probably threw 100-plus innings. That means he probably had decent numbers and had a solid postseason, and a team was willing to give him a $100+ million contract, because we talked about Ohtani coming back. We always talk about the potential of Roki Sasaki, who was phenomenal in his last start. You have Bobby Miller, right? If you brought back Walker Buehler in the offseason and you gave him a $100 million contract, you're essentially talking about a starting rotation where if you bring in Roki Sasaki, that has 5 bona fide ace level starters. So don't know how realistic that is, but like I say, that 93, 94, 95, it's going to play with command and no walks. 0 walks for Walker Buehler. That really was the top takeaway. So really good to see this version of Walker Buehler. Donio, do you think Buehler will be back next season? Donio Taters.
I think I'm like 70%, 75.
That he will be back?
That he will be back.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like he'll take, depending how the season goes,
a team-friendly hometown discount.
You know, hang out with Kershaw another year, you know.
Wow. Interesting. Let me know down below in the comment section, what do you think are the percentage chances? Drop your percentage chances that Walker Buehler will be back. How about you, Noah? Will Buehler be back next season?
I would say 30% chance.
30%.
So he's likely not back.
So Noah says 70% chance that he won't be back.
Because I think
I think that Noah is pretty spot on. I mean, you say Cardinals then? Oh. Do you have anything that's like, Noel, you think Buehler will be back next season?
I'm on the same boat as Tonio. I think he's down and taking a nice pay cut, and I think he loves it here in LA. Maybe another like bet on myself type deal where he'll get like short term, short years, and he'll try to keep performing to get a bigger bag.
I like that take. I think you're right. Iris K, Teo over Walker. Walker seeking the bag, 10% chance from Iris K. We got a 50-50 chance from Craig Osberg. 50% says he won't be back from Fernando Valencia over on Facebook. W. Basile says, are we assuming he wants to be back? I mean, look, all these guys, it's free agency, right? They didn't get to choose who drafted them. They earned this, and he certainly has. 50-50, one-year prove-it contract. See, Roy Estrada, that is the point I was trying to make, that if he's back, it probably means he didn't pitch his best or up to his expectations. If he's on another team, that means that you got one more really good year out of Walker Buehler in a year where you needed pitching depth. And there are some questions even about the front of this rotation as far as their durability. So we'll see how that plays throughout the course of a season. I will say that when I asked Walker Buehler about playing with
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shohei Ohtani and what that was like. And Walker told me that he's the best player ever and that he's proving why they paid him twice as much as any player. Well, he said, kept saying we and we and we. And he's not a French guy, right? So I think for Walker Buehler, he really identifies with this franchise. He realizes how important he is to the culture, how beloved he is within that clubhouse. And he's one of the core guys that has really built this. So if they could get a deal done, I could absolutely see it happening. But I think if Buehler really, and this is a good point from Yeah Player, Buehler is with XL Sports, not Boris, right? Yeah, he's not a Boris guy. So there is that. So that's a little encouraging. Now, next big takeaway is we're going to talk about the Mookie Betts shortstop experiment a little more. And Friday night, Mookie didn't have the best night at short, missed some throws, and it wasn't as crisp. And he told reporters after the game about playing shortstop. He said, "This is really hard. It's really, really hard. And it is what it is. You got to do it. I enjoy doing it. But the main thing is that it's really, really hard." And look, you love the fact that no one holds himself to a higher standard than Mookie Betts. That's how he's achieved this level of success. That's why he is, in my opinion, a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he's going to solidify himself as one of the greatest Dodgers ever if he hasn't already, right? But it did feel like, man, he realized that, you know what? An entire season of this, an entire season playing one of the most demanding positions in all of sports, being the guardian of the infield, I think it really hit him on Friday, really what he's up against. And you look at his numbers, a 4 defensive runs saved, that's decent, but a minus 3 outs above average, a minus 2.4 UZR score. And I planted my flag early on when everyone fell in love with this story of Mookie Betts playing shortstop. I said it's great. It's exciting. He's capable of doing it. But is it the best decision for Mookie and the Dodgers? Because I've always held true about this. Mookie is the spark plug. He's the catalyst for this offense. If Mookie goes and scores a run, this team's percentage of winning games almost doubles in the postseason. That's how valuable he is. So the last thing I want to see is Mookie have an MVP-level season and go and put together incredible summer numbers, and then all of a sudden October he doesn't hit and the season kind of starts to hit him. And Major League Baseball, it comes at you fast, right? But it comes at you really fast in October. And the last thing I want to see is a Mookie Betts that can't cross the finish line. I want to see a Mookie Betts cross that finish line. I asked Mookie during spring training about how great his season was and the fact that he finished with more WAR than the eventual winner in Ronald Acuña Jr. And he said, you know what, all that's great, but I'm more focused on finishing the season strong. That is what his goal was. And I think at second base, if he was at second, you limit that wear and tear. You take some of the strenuous activity of the shortstop spot off his plate. Yeah, that would have definitely allowed him to focus on hitting more. But then you throw him at shortstop where there's a lot of lateral movement. There's a lot of agility that needs to be a big part of your play and making the throws and just being the captain, communicating to your teammates. There's just so much that goes into the shortstop position. There's a reason why there's 10 guys on this earth. There's 10 guys on the planet that are above average shortstops offensively and average to above average shortstops defensively. It's so rare. And to think that as talented as Mookie is, that they thought they could throw a 31-year-old shortstop in that spot and he could play it for a full season. I just don't know if that was the play. And I could be wrong. Trust me, I could be wrong. And Mookie could play his whole season at short and win World Series MVP. And I would love that. Nothing would make me happier than to see that happen. But I also know that it's such a difficult spot to play. And we're just going to monitor this. Because the good thing is the shortstop spot hasn't bled into his offensive numbers. He's still been really good offensively. He's cooled down a little bit from his hot start, but you're starting to see the power numbers go up. He had a home run this week. Yesterday, he was back in the lineup and he gets a hit. But he also said to reporters, there's some really short strides. I can't speed it up. There's no way to speed it up. As bad as I want to, it's hard. It's hard for everybody. I just started doing it, and experience is the best teacher. So I think that you love the fact that he is working through this process. He realizes that it's going to require a lot of reps, a lot of experience, and that's why he is taking infield 3 hours before games and just putting all the work. But like he said, you can't speed up the experience. Mookie also said, I think it's been not very good. It's a work in progress. It's my first time doing it in a long time. You have to start somewhere, at least with me feeling like I'm on the lower end. There's nowhere to go but up from here. So first of all, Mookie, you're playing better than you're saying you are. Okay, so let me pick you up from that standpoint. Okay, you're not a terrible shortstop or anything like that. It's not like it's Jock Peterson at first base, right? Worst experiment ever. But still, he realizes how difficult it's going to be. So let me know down below in the comment section, what do you think about the Mookie Betts experience so far? The experiment of him playing that shortstop position. We got Chief, MVP, Cy Young, and Rookie of the Year are all subjective, but not winning the World Series is not. N-Rock says, I want Mookie back in right field. Fear Centaur 59 says, Mookie won't last at shortstop. I think it'll take its toll later. Johnny says, no player will take a discount. Would you take a pay cut at your job? Referring to Walker Buehler. Yeah, most of the time, it very rarely does it happen. The truth is, Max Muncy did take a discount to come back with the Dodgers. But for a pitcher that's had two Tommy John surgeries like Walker Buehler, that's his shot at a big payday. I don't think he's going to take a major pay cut and take a 1 or 2 year deal when there are 5 or 6 year deals out there worth north of $100 million. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. He still needs to put together a really solid season for us to have that conversation. Daniel says Buehler will be back next year. Peeing. That's the guy's username. Come on now. will it be Ohtani? Number 14 home run today. All right, you want to call your shot? Is he leaving the yard? Why not? Shohei Ohtani leaves the yard again. I'm going Ohtani deep fly. Ohtani bomb tonight. Home run. Tonio, who's your called shot for tonight? Will it be Ohtani?
I'm going to say another leadoff home run from Mookie Betts.
Another leadoff home run from Mookie Betts. I could see it. I could see it for sure. We got to move Mookie to right field, trade Lux. That's from Raul. The thing about Lux is the defense has been really, really good. The offense has picked up a little late, still not great, but they're still not at that 150 at-bat assessment benchmark that they are waiting for before they really make a decision on what's next for Lux. But he is trending in the right direction. Sue says Rojas to short, Mookie to second. The thing about Rojas at short, and it's been reported a couple different times that they don't love the idea of Rojas being at shortstop full-time just because he's an older guy. He's 35, and you don't want to risk losing him. But if we do get to the All-Star break, then maybe after you could consider it. But I think right now they're going to continue to see if Mookie can improve, and that's where they're at. And you got to give them all the credit in the world for doing this. I just want to point that out. This is not a way to say, oh, Mookie's bad. He's not. The fact that he's even playing this position at or near a league average level is a miracle. This is an absolute testament to the greatness of Mookie Betts, that he's able to take on something like this, that he was able to agree to this. 90% of superstars out there saying, hell no, I'm a six-time Gold Glove Award winning right fielder. I'm someone who wants to play second base. I signed that big contract. So give him all the credit for going out there and doing what the team needed, because Gavin Lux struggled so mightily during the spring training that he couldn't make the throws and they just didn't have very many options. Now, we have talked about Bo Bichette. Do want to point out about Bo Bichette is that Bo Bichette is absolutely starting to heat up. Bo Bichette is picking up his play after an extremely slow start on the season. He had a two-hit game with a double against the Orioles. Didn't have a great series against the Rays where he goes hitless, but against the Orioles, he had a 3-for-4 game. He had a 2-for-3 game. So you are starting to see some signs of life. If he becomes available and it requires a couple of top 10 prospects and you make that deal with the possibility of an extension, I'm still all in on the potential of trading for Bo Bichette. I mean, who wouldn't want a shortstop that they can get you 20 to 30 home runs and around league average defense and go gap to gap, give you doubles? So it just depends on if he becomes available. And then I think the Dodgers are still in a good spot with where they're at. Bo Bichette and Kikuchi. Ohtani would love to play alongside Nando. I can't read that last part, but give you a
breath.
For sure. You almost got me, though. Bilal K, consider the three divas the Dodgers signed in the past that should have worked but didn't. Machado, Scherzer, and Turner. Are Bichette and Adames next? I don't think Adames is on the market yet. I don't think there's really that many shortstops that are on the market yet. It's still extremely early, and they're still in the evaluation period. We got to D-Max, number one fan. I love me some Kikuchi so much. He's a really good player there for sure. Gavin Lux is heating up from conservative Zach. Gavin Lux has performed better for sure. There's no doubt about it. Gavin Lux, you're starting to see more power. He's hitting the ball harder. There's no doubt about that. But on the month, for the month of May, he's hitting .213 with a .600 OPS. And in the series against the Reds, he had three straight games where he had a base hit. They were all singles. He did have a double in the Dodgers' extra innings win over the Giants where he went 2-for-4. That was really his best game of the month. But right now you're looking at a Gavin Lux that's still hovering around .200, hovering around a .600 OPS. The good thing is the defense is playing, so you'll take that for sure. But I think that, like I said, if it's the magic eight ball, they're shaking it, and right now it says, ask me later. I don't think they're 100% on anything right now when it comes to the shortstop spot. I think they're constantly evaluating and assessing, but I don't think they're at 100%. I think that they're still seeing what they have, and based on those results, they'll determine what their next move is. And I just think that Mookie's comments kind of were a glimpse into where he's at. But we're going to do the other takeaways tomorrow. We had the trade at the top. Don't mess with the Johan, as someone said. And I think with Johan Ramirez, it's going to be exciting to see if he can step up and be this year's Ryan Brazier. Is it possible? Anything's possible. The upside is certainly there. But that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Let's do one more update on that poll to see where people are at with that, because it was one of our closest polls that we've done so far, Mr. Tonio. Let's see where we're at right now. It's still at 56% yes for Mookie, still playing shortstop by the end of the season, 44% say no. If you haven't yet, go and check it out on the X and vote for sure. So a couple comments, couple walk-off shots. See y'all later. Do your family from Mario. We got James Reynolds saying peace, Doug. We got Kelly Oshiro saying thanks, D-Mac. Joseph says go Tani lives. Where'd you get that LA stand? We got D-Mac rocking. What up, Oscar over there? We got Iris K. Peace out, D-Mac from Bruin _ Steve. Joe, me joining at the end of this show. Hey, you can just rewind it, man. Just go back. We got D-Max, everyone fan. Fun fact, LA didn't get a hit after saying LA was his city. That's a good point. He struck out a couple different times, and he just wasn't having the same level of success. But he's not saying it's his city. He's saying that, look, he played Grand Theft Auto, right? He made his major league debut versus the Dodgers. He's had success against his team. I love the fact that he loves LA, right? So that's going to do it for this episode. Raul says Freddie goes yard tonight. Peace out, Roy. Peace out, Echo 5 Papa. NS, thank you for that. That's a comment of the show, best show around. Thanks, D-Mac, for the stream. Ohtani goes deep tonight and hits a home run, too. Oh, man. Remember Freddie Freeman? He's pretty good. Yeah, he is. Peace out, D-Nation. 8 strikeouts. Peace, D-Mac, making my work hour go by fast from Kersey. But, yeah, we'll be back later after the show for a post-game show, but that's going to do it for Super Producer Tonio, myself, Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Subscribe to the channel so you're eligible for our next giveaway at 95,000. 1,000 subscribers. A road gray Shohei Ohtani jersey. Definitely, you are going to want to subscribe so you have a chance to win and comment. That's a hot take from Jay Bullitt. Dodgers get 20 homers today. That's officially falling off the rails, ladies and gentlemen. But remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.